D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
You and I were born in a Christian nation. That may not be said for your children or grandchildren.
Last year in September, I decided to start a Christian club. And I went to the principal the next day and I presented it to her. And she said that I couldn't have a Christian club because it was illegal.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program of D. James Kennedy Ministries. My name is Frank Wright. As we wrap up this Thanksgiving weekend, I'm reminded that merely giving thanks to God is becoming ever more difficult to do here in America. This is largely due to those with a secular agenda who abuse the Constitution and the courts to try to scrub the nation free of any mention of God. Horacio Mihet, who is chief litigation counsel with our friends at Liberty Counsel, joins me today. He and Liberty Counsel work to advance religious freedom, the sanctity of life, and the family. Harry, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me with you.
It's good to have you here. This question of religious freedom is not merely academic for you, is it? You grew up in a communist-controlled Romania. What was your experience like as a Christian there?
I grew up in a country that was ruled by an oppressive and repressive regime that was determined to control every aspect of our lives from the cradle to the grave. What we did, what we thought, what we believed, and what we said. And these communists declared war on Christianity, on God himself, because they didn't want to compete with God for the allegiance of the people. So they made things especially tough for people like my father, who was a pastor in Romania. He pastored at one point 17 churches, many of them quite literally underground because they were not even allowed to exist.
What was it like to live out your faith under such opposition?
Well, Frank, our life as Christians in Romania was filled with stark realities of coming face to face with German shepherd dogs that had been trained to sniff out Bibles, the possession of which was a crime in Romania, or seeing the horrified look on my parents' faces when they would find microphones, bugs hidden in our house by the secret police who wanted to know and see and hear everything. But even as a schoolboy in Romania, you know, the communists had enacted rules that required us to be in school even on Sunday, not because there was a lot of schoolwork to catch up on, but specifically because they knew that if we were in school on Sunday, then we could not be in church on Sunday. And so whenever we didn't show up to school, which was basically every Sunday, we chose to go to the Lord's house instead. On Monday, when we would show up at school, there would be a price to pay. And it came in terms of the administrators getting together all of the students in the school in a school-wide assembly and inviting us Christians. They called us the repenters in a derogatory fashion, inviting us to come in front of the assembly to be singled out for the fact that we were Christians, that we were, you know, too good to be in school on Sunday, that we chose to go and to worship an imaginary God. And as part of this exercise, the administrators would oftentimes encourage our classmates to laugh at us, to call us names, even to spit at us and throw things at us. It was a form of institutionalized bullying, if you will, determined to shame us and to try to cause us to recant our faiths. We're thankful because we felt God's presence even in the midst of that kind of persecution. He was right there with us in front of the school in the assemblies, and he gave us the power and the strength and the grace to go through that.
So you've lived behind the Iron Curtain, and yet you've also spent many years here in America. In your opinion, is it an exaggeration for us to say that the things we're beginning to see here in America bear some similarities to what you saw in communist-controlled Romania?
I don't think it's an exaggeration at all. I think history demonstrably repeats itself, not always in the same place, in different places. Mm. And so I think our detractors, the enemies of freedom, would try to dismiss us as engaging in hyperbole and fear-mongering, but the facts demonstrate beyond any doubt that there is now in this country an attempt to silence Christians, to punish Christians, to drive Christians literally underground. Yes, we may continue to have the freedom of worship, the freedom to believe whatever we want, so long as we confine it to the four walls of the church. But if we're talking about the free exercise of religion, which is our God-given, constitutionally guaranteed right, the freedom to freely exercise your religion, to live it out, to live out your faith, not just in church, but Monday through Friday in public, in society, that is under a relentless attack right now in this country, in the land of the free.
With your years of working on these issues, what is one thing that many people perhaps do not know that if they understood better would give them hope on this question of religious free speech and free exercise?
Well, I think one of the problems in this country is that sometimes Christians become, timid or not willing to speak truth to power and to stand up for Christ and for their God-given rights. And so when someone in a position of power tells a Christian, you cannot do this, sometimes the tendency is to say, well, okay, then I will voluntarily yield my God-given constitutional rights. What we need desperately in this country are courageous Christians that know their rights and that are willing to stand for their rights in order that they might make a difference in this culture, so that when someone, even if it's the government, tells a Christian, you cannot be on this public sidewalk speaking the truths that you are speaking, we need Christians to say, I know how to read my constitution, and I know that this public sidewalk is sacrosanct when it comes to the freedom of speech, and I am not going to voluntarily give up my God-given constitutionally guaranteed rights. Whenever that happens, we always see how truth prevails. God comes alongside and honors the courage of his people. And we just wish that it would happen more often because, even at Liberty Council, we can't undertake these battles on our own. We need to come alongside Christians that are willing and determined to draw a line in the sand, if you will, and to take a stand for God's truth.
So censorship is a terrible thing, but self-censorship is a tragic thing.
It really is. You know, it is a fact, a demonstrable fact, that people who don't know their rights will not use their rights. And people who do not use their rights end up losing their rights. And nothing breaks my heart more than to see Christians sort of retreat from battle before even the first shot is fired, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's just unfortunate, and I think we ought to pray that God will change the hearts of his people.
Raise up a generation of courageous Christians who know their rights and who are willing to stand in the public square and defend their rights and live out their faith before a watching world.
Absolutely. I mean, Scripture is full of examples of how God used the courage of his people to change the heart of the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego comes to mind quite readily. Mm-hmm. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar at the beginning of Daniel chapter 3 was an evil king who thought he was worthy of worship and ordered everyone to worship his image. By the end of that chapter, Nebuchadnezzar declares that there is no God like Jehovah and no other God can save like him. How did that happen? It happened because of the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were not afraid to say no to the king, to speak truth to power, even when they thought that it might cost them their life. We desperately need today our own Shadrachs, Meshachs, and Abednego, our own Davids, our own Josephs and Moseses and Elijahs, Christians who are not afraid to speak truth to power. And I believe that God can use that kind of courage, like he did in the past, to bring about radical transformation in our own society and to change the hearts of kings.
Well, Harry, I believe that there are people here in America who also want to stand courageously and speak truth into power. and live out their faith before a watching world. And it's great for them to know that they have friends like you at Liberty Council who are willing to stand with them when the time comes to have to defend their faith and their rights in court. Thanks for being with us here today, Harry.
Thank you, Frank.
Though many are trying to obscure our true history and with it remove our liberty, the fact is that America was settled and founded by Christians who believed in freedom from government interference. As my friend and teacher, Dr. D. James Kennedy, explains, the Constitution indeed protects us against a state-run denomination. But the founders also knew that without looking to God, the grounds for our republic would be shaky and ultimately would crumble.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the Bible asks, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? There is no doubt that this is indeed a nation which was built upon the foundation of God, that the Lord indeed was the God of this nation, that it was founded upon the principles of God's Word, upon the teachings of Christianity, and for the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. All of that is under enormous attack and has been for the last few decades. In fact, so effective has been that attack that the historical revisionists have all but removed every vestige of our Christian heritage from our textbooks in school. Even the very monuments in the nation's capital are being changed and removed that point to the Christian origins of this country. You and I were born in a Christian nation. That may not be said for your children or grandchildren, unless we who have received this marvelous patrimony do something other than let it sift through our fingers like sand, because we are engaged simply in personal peace and prosperity, as Dr. Francis Schaeffer used to say. My subject is America, a Christian Nation. If we know our history, we know that this was a nation founded upon Christ and His Word. Those foundations indeed are crumbling in our time. John Quincy Adams, President of the United States, said that the highest glory of the American Revolution was what? It secured our independence from England. It got rid of the stamp tax, tea tax. What was the highest glory of the American Revolution? It dissolved our bonds with Parliament and the King? No. Listen well, said President John Quincy Adams, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. One indissoluble bond, government and Christianity. Well, they have come with their solvents of unbelief, skepticism, atheism, Marxism, humanism, secularism, and they are doing everything in their power to totally dissolve that indissoluble bond. And we need to give ourselves to that task, that that bond not be dissolved, or else the principles of Christianity will be replaced by the secular principles of humanism and atheism, and life will lose its significance and its meaning. Life will become cheap, as it certainly presently is in this country, as humanistic principles are prevailing in more and more spheres of our nation. That's why Charles Hodge, who was the greatest theologian America ever produced, who was the glory and jewel and crown of Princeton, said, quote, "The proposition that the United States of America is a Christian and Protestant nation is not so much the assertion of a principle as the statement of a fact." But today, people seem to think that in some way religion in general and Christianity in particular are in some way inimical to good government, and that the purpose of the government is to keep religion away from the governors of our land. A very different view than held by George Washington, who said, quote, "True religion offers to government its surest support." In fact, Washington said that without God and the Bible, it would be impossible to govern. Yes, my friends, you and I were born in a Christian nation. I'm afraid our children or grandchildren will be born in an atheistic one. Just at a time when the rest of the world is realizing the folly of unbelief and the fatal results in the lives of people, America continues apace down the foolish pathway toward godlessness and secularism. I pray that God may grant that we may have the courage and the conviction, the strength of character, the boldness to be able and be willing to stand up for Christ. That we are engaged indeed in a great struggle, testing whether this nation or any nation that believes that men were created by a divine creator and thus endowed with inalienable rights, whether such a nation can long endure. There were in the beginning and there are today those who believe that this which we have received as our patrimony, a nation of freedom and liberty, and only where the Spirit of God is there liberty. Those that have been willing to fight and to die for such a country. And if a nation is built on such exalted principles as these, if it was created for such noble purposes as the advancement for the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the glory of God, then indeed such a nation deserves our sacrifice and our support.
As you just heard Dr. Kennedy discuss, America's Christian heritage is a wonderful inheritance, but it's one that is in danger as humanism and atheism become more aggressive. Thankfully, there are still many Christians bold enough to stand up for Christ, including a courageous girl in Long Island, New York, whom you are about to meet.
Last year in September, I decided to start a Christian club. And I went to guidance first, and I asked them how to do it, and they said write up a proposal. So I went home, and I wrote up a proposal. And I went to the principal the next day, and I presented it to her. And she said that I couldn't have the Christian club because it was illegal.
The Supreme Court has said that students do not shed their First Amendment freedoms when they walk through the schoolhouse gate.
She told me I could have an all-religion club, but if it was just a Christian club biblically based, I couldn't have it. So I actually went with a couple of people the first time, and she said no, and they kind of backed down, they kind of left me. So then I went back alone, and I said to her, I'm not going to take no for an answer, you got to present it to the board. She still said no. She crossed out, actually, Christian Club all over my proposal, and she wouldn't even read the whole thing. So I didn't really know the law because I'm a teenager, so I went home and I did some studying. I went online, And I typed in like Christian Club legal in high school, like just Googled it, and I saw Liberty Institute, and they actually had another case in a high school, which was like the same one as mine, a couple miles away from Wantagh. So I contacted them, and I was like, if they can help them, why can't they help me?
And so students and parents need to be prepared, and they don't need to be scared when these types of things happen. Give us a call. We'd be happy to represent them and to investigate their case more fully and see if there's a way that we can continue to restore religious liberty in America.
I met up with Jeremy Dyes from Liberty Institute in the city, and he said that he would take the case, and they informed the school that it was illegal with a letter. And 8 days later, they responded and they said she could have the Christian Club.
We have over a 99% success rate in the work that we do.
So I got my Christian Club.
The founding fathers were very concerned about the ever-vigilant protection of our religious liberty. And every generation, it is called upon each one of our generations to continue to assert our religious liberty, lest we would lose it to the sands of time.
I think it's important to stand up for freedom of religion, because if we don't, we're going to have it taken away from us, and that's really important.
One of the reasons Christians have lost so much ground in our current culture is that too often they have become timid rather than knowing what they believe with certainty and being willing to share it with others. They've retreated behind the walls of the church, leaving the public square to the secularists. But it doesn't have to be that way. We have two important resources to share with you that will strengthen your faith and make it easy to share the good news of Christ with others. My very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, is here to tell us more. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Frank. This week, our nation stopped to give thanks. But more and more, it doesn't know who it's giving thanks to. The pilgrims came to this country because they believed deeply in the gospel of Jesus Christ and its power to transform us. They risked everything because they knew that if they honored God, they would be blessed. Don't you want that kind of strength and purpose in your own life? We have a brand new, powerful devotional book that will help you to begin 2016 with courage, fulfillment, and power. It's called Strength for Today by my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, and Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Jerry and my dad co-wrote more than a dozen books together, and Jerry has dug deeply into my father's wealth of life-transforming biblical teachings to bring forward jewels that have never been published before. This beautiful new 365-day devotional is just off the presses, and we'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of our ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762. Or go online to djameskennedy.org. And as you're strengthened by Christ, you'll want to share him with others. If America is going to have a new birth of freedom, as Abraham Lincoln called for and as my dad prayed for, the gospel of freedom and forgiveness must be preached. For a limited time, we will send you two copies of a 2-DVD set of my father's most powerful evangelistic messages called What's So Amazing About Jesus, plus the Strength for Today devotional, as our thanks for your donation of $75 or more to our ongoing work. What better way to lift up Christ during this upcoming Christmas season than by sharing him with someone else? We'll send you two copies of the 2-DVD evangelistic set, What's So Amazing About Jesus, one for you to keep and one for you to give away, plus the brand new Strength for Today devotional when you give a gift of $75 or more. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762. Or go online to djameskennedy.org.
Recently, in Washington State, a high school football coach walked out onto the field alone after a game and quietly prayed. He did not bring anyone out onto the field with him. Yet as he prayed, he suddenly realized that he was surrounded by a growing number of people praying with him, including players, fans, and even members of the opposing team, all of them expressing their support. The reason? The coach, Joe Kennedy of Bremerton, Washington, had been ordered by his school district not to pray. Fearing that Coach Kennedy's prayers were somehow a violation of the Constitution and of federal law, the school district ordered him not to pray or even to kneel or even to bow his head. We have come to a place of utter absurdity in America. Thanks to groups like the ACLU and the so-called People for the American Way, few people even know what the First Amendment is about anymore. The founders included what we now call the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights for one purpose: to protect us from a national religious denomination. The First Amendment says that the government cannot make any law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The very idea that a football coach saying a quiet prayer after a game could constitute a governmental establishment of religion is beyond laughable. Only in the fevered imaginings of those with a wavering grasp on reality could this be considered a serious matter of concern. Yet, school districts around the country severely restrict the constitutional rights of their employees and students on a regular basis, largely because of sheer ignorance about the reality of our constitutional system. If the President of the United States can declare a nationwide day of thanksgiving to God, as every single U.S. president has done, without violating the Constitution or somehow establishing a religion, then a school employee or student can certainly pray. My friends, this is no time to shrink back from our faith because of secularist bullies and the ignorant people they seek to intimidate. Our Savior set his face as flint toward Jerusalem for us. We must continue to live out our faith boldly and lovingly as a witness to him who loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own precious blood. My prayer is that God will raise up a generation of Coach Kennedys in our day. Perhaps you will be one of them. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for being with us on Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
It is the most spectacular, astonishing thing that the world has ever known. We are a visited planet.
God sent to us a wonderful, wonderful gift, and that gift is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.